When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're sending billions of dollars across the seas to other countries and dealing with their problems, their, you know, internal problems, and neglecting ours in the process. The poverty, the homelessness, the mental health crisis, the education, the failing education, the unprecedented illegal immigration, the corruption, the corrupting and deterioration of our culture and civilization, you know, society as Americans.
Let's go.
Welcome to Citizen. We've got a special guest today, Mark Fisher. I think a lot of people probably have heard about you, but for those who haven't, give us a quick bio.
Well, I'm the founder of Black Lives Matter Rhode Island, and that's my background in social justice activism. Currently, I'm the founder and executive director of BLM Incorporated, and we are located out of the D.C. area, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. We call it the DMV. That's my background. You know, it's a... BLM is a complex perspective, because depending on what you want is what you're going to find, and what you think is what's going to actually be. But I'm here to create my own narrative. I've been saying that from, you know, the moment I created my organization to the moment I started standing in solidarity with J6ers to the moment I publicly endorsed Donald Trump. I've always considered my own failings, my own thoughts, and my own way of doing things. And that's how I'm going to continue to go.
Okay, well, let's unpack that a little bit. One, I want to start, well, since we're on the subject, let's just go ahead and get into it. When you say your own faults, I assume by that you mean a wrongfully held ideology or something that has evolved for you over time or something like that. But explain, unpack that a little bit for me.
Well, I said thoughts, my own thoughts.
Okay, yeah. So, right. So what, tell me about that then. So, tell me the presumption that you have, cause this is all, life is a big science experiment, right? Like people get so bent out of shape about being right or wrong about things, the pride of authorship shit. It's like, you were wrong about everything all the way up until the point you were right about it, just like every other human being that's ever walked the face of this earth. Right. But for some reason, people have such an emotional response to being proven wrong, instead of just being like, oh shit, now I'm right, which should be good news, right? So tell me what it was, at least from your perspective, what you thought, and then now what you believe.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And the problem is, a lot of times that we let our emotions do the thinking for us instead of coming from it from a logical perspective. I know for my community, that's a lot of the problem. We are very emotional, we're over emotional. A lot of times we don't even use logic in our thought process. You know, case example is, you know, the way we revere, you know, in our community, Barack Obama, and, you know, this high esteem and regard that we hold him in our community, and no disrespect to him, but he really hasn't done anything for Black people other than be Black in the highest office in the land. And to me, that's just not enough anymore. Just, you know, these token, you know, things, and, you know, and, you know, over promises and under delivering by the Democrats. You know, we continue to go back to them, and they continue to give us the same thing. And that's insanity. You know, they give us nothing. And insanity is, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So, you know, this time we're going to led by me, myself, I'm going to lead the race and the charge off of the Democratic plantation. There's other people out there doing their thing, but they have their own motives, their own motivation, and their own perspective. Mine is one where I actually was on the front lines. I was there, and I had a epiphany, and I've been evolving ever since.
Yeah. What do you think it was? I guess I've talked about this a lot over the years. Specifically what you're talking about, the Democratic Party in general has, you know, there's this old saying, solved problems don't get out the vote, right? And I've worked on campaigns for black candidates before on both sides, Republican and Democrat. And, you know, what you hear from the community leaders and the black communities is we only see you a couple of months before it's time to vote, right? We never hear from you otherwise, which is that's a good fucking point, right? But from the perspective of the Democratic Party, they have kind of weaponized the plight of black America to some degree politically, right? It's like, we're going to talk the right talk, and then we're going to give you just enough to keep your heads above water, but never enough to get real buy into the community or get real upward mobility or anything like that, right? And we wonder why there's so much nihilistic behavior in black inner city communities, like gang activity and shit like that. It's like, no, that's how it works. When people don't feel a sense of ownership over their own community, it's broken window theory. They just fuck it up, right? I mean, it's true for shitty rural American places just like it is for, you know, urban places. So I don't understand why this hasn't been called out more, frankly, and sooner.
Well, it's funny because, you know, as I sit back and watch in real time it be played out, it's quite funny. It's hysterical to me when I look at the Democratic playbook. And I'm watching this unfold in real time, and I'm watching, you know, the Democrats get exposed. Their policies are horrible for all Americans. We know this. It's horrible to the nuclear family, to the black family, to the American family. So when this is being like exposed nationally, like across the country, we're all witnessing this. They're getting, you know, a lot of pushback from their own Democratic leaders across the country. These policies, these Democrat policies, and you look at them and it's like their playbook go-to play. Their number one, works like a charm, never fail, go-to play is the race card. They do it all the time. You know why they do this all the time? Because it works like a charm. And as I'm watching them sit back and try to, you know, absorb the fact that they're being exposed as the real racist and as the real anti-American, you know, party. It's like they have no defense other than to say, no, they're the racist. And it's like, it's so funny. It's almost like it's this canned message, this 7-second canned speech message that they've mastered for so long. They have nothing else. They have nothing else to go to. You know, Kamala's out there trying to, you know, fight for, you know, reproductive rights. And, you know, Joe Biden's trying to talk about how, you know, bad Donald Trump is. That's their playbook. Other than they're racist and they have nothing else. And it's, to me, it's hysterical. Sit back, watch it. And Donald Trump's like taking literal words out of Biden's mouth, proving that he's a racist, things he's done, policies he supported that exposed them, the whole party, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, all these white liberals, all these black liberals as the most racist people in the country. And I sit back and watch, and they're like, Donald Trump's this, Donald Trump's that. And if they think that is going to win them an election, they are sadly mistaken. And they're in for a shock.
Yeah, I mean,
shock of a generation.
It's if you actually, you know, kind of look into the history of the Democratic Party, it should be no surprise that this kind of stuff is happening, right? I mean, they are the party of slavery. Now they've tried to amend their history quite a bit over the past like fucking 15 or 20 years now to say that it was the Republicans are racist. Like the parties are different now. We switched or something like that. But like all these major policies over the years, like, you know, there were parts of the crime bill that made a lot of sense, frankly, but not having follow up to take care of the fallout, right? And deal with fatherless homes and shit like that on the back end was a massive failure for this country. And you would think that the party who talks that talk all the time would be the ones who fucking engaged in that and fixed that problem, but they didn't. And then, you know, this whole, the neo gun control movement is, and you don't even have to look back this that far in history to see this. It is 100% based on keeping guns out of the hands of the Black Panther Party. That is specifically where all this new neo-gun legislation came from. Scary yep. black man with a gun. Well, we can't have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like absolutely. 70% or so of the gun violence in the country that isn't suicide comes from poor black neighborhoods, right? It's like, yeah. but the left spends zero time talking about or addressing that issue, which to me seems fundamentally racist at its core, because there are actual yeah. human lives being lost here, right? This isn't some yeah. fucking political game. Like, people are dying and suffering and shit like that. Yeah. And, you know, but again, like you said, it's crazy to see it. It's almost comical, but it does make a lot of sense, right? Based on their history, they've done one thing and said another. Now, I'm not sure the Republican Party is any better, frankly. The Uniparty thing is a big deal in this country right now, but at least I've always kind of tongue in cheek said this, at least the Republican Party had the common courtesy to ignore the problem and not make it worse. You know what I mean?
You know, that's a great way. And I mean, that's as real as you're going to get, you know. It's to me, it's kind of ironic that the Democratic Party talks about this. And it's not just, you know, white Democrats. It's black Democrats mm-hmm. who are just as culpable for the condition that we find ourselves in blue cities across the country, failing education systems, fatherless homes, you know, no pathways, opportunities, you know, everything, you know, in the tank, unemployment, you know. And so when you look at these black politicians who are cogs in this white supremacist system, they're actually treasonists, committing acts of treason against their own community because they act like that racism is the problem when it's actually lack of opportunity. And they don't want to show us what they know. They don't want to show us the codes that got them in office and this supposed diverse party that they benefit so much from. Because for them to actually admit the fact that they're the real racist party would have to admit that they have neglected us, our people, for so long, and our communities for so long. But, you know, you look at somebody like Bill Clinton, who passed this crime bill, and Biden, who supported it. They talk about the Clinton machine, talks about these were the unintended consequences of passing that crime bill. So for that to be true, he would have to totally have ignored the prison commission's report that said that the lopsided effect that this bill was having on black people was untenable and something had to be done because we were going into jail at a clip of 1 out of 3. And Bill Clinton said a week before he signed that bill that the black people are right to think that there's something wrong and something nefarious when 1 out of 3 black adults are either in supervision or in prison by the government. 1 in 3. And at a rate to 1 to 100, we were being in prison for the same drug, same chemical substance, just in a different form. You know what I mean? Crack versus powder.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was done specifically for the black community as well. You're talking about a 100 to 1 disparity. But now when you look at, you know, the problem when you talk about the meth problem. That's a problem. That's a crisis. That's not a criminal problem, right?
Well, I mean, we have a fentanyl problem now, and that is not coming from black gangs, right? That's coming from cartels to white people primarily, right?
And that's what I'm here to tout and preach that we all human. And first and foremost, secondly, we're all American. Okay. And these same issues that affect my brother, my white brothers and sisters, are the same issues that I'm vulnerable to that are going to affect me and my children. The same issues that we deal with as far as the untrustworthy government, state and federal level, are the same issues that my children are going to have to deal with, you know, and the militarization of the police in our communities and the over policing and over legislating. That's what I'm going to have to deal with and my children and my family. And so that's what we're trying to remedy and address. But, you know, it's the same thing. Like I said, they've used this card, the Democrats, because it works like a charm. So, of course, they're going to try to point the finger because it's worked for so long. And like you, I love the way you're like, hey, listen, you just broke it down very simple and clear. Like, you know, this doesn't make sense. This is what the Democrats are doing. And you guys keep going back and voting for them. Well, yes, I'm glad you see it. And it's so clear. But you know, this is what happens, just like Stockholm syndrome, when you mastered something, you know, they have the manipulation of the Black community down to a science. This is something that Black leaders and educated Black people and those who are allies of our community are going to have to step up into the forefront and address.
Yeah, it's that's a difficult, tall order, to be honest, to have folks who have been, I mean, you know, even the best of people who've been in this game for a while to come out and admit that you were wrong is tough, right? That's a difficult thing for a lot of people. And to be honest, most of the influencer or influential people are being, it's a business for them. They're being paid for this stuff, right? So they're not going to take food out of their mouths to do the right thing. That's the majority of people who work in politics are pieces of shit, frankly. Stand by that until the day I die. Now, real's real, right? And the reason that the crime bill came around is because there was mass gang violence going on in major cities across America. It's like, all right, well, we got to do something about it. If there's a crime issue in a community, you've got options. You know, you can throw everybody in prison, militarize the police, and fucking just like, oh, you pretend like you don't know that there are second, third order effects coming in the next generation. Like that. We knew before 1997 that fatherless homes were a major predictor of criminal activity. We knew that already, right? So anybody that studied this bill, and I'm sure Clinton was speaking to that effect when he made the comments you alluded to, anybody that was aware of this bill knew exactly what the fallout was going to be, right? They knew exactly what it was going to be. But, you know, it was politically safe to do it, so why not?
Exactly. And it was at our expense, and nobody wants to be a part of the out-group, and so you know, he realized that he could, as well, as much as he could have vetoed the bill, it wasn't in his interest to do that.
Yeah, 100%. Let me ask you, let's go back for a minute. You seem like you're kind of politically minded generally now, but that may not have always been the case. What was it that got you involved in politics originally, and then why BLM?
Such a great question. Because it was BLM first, and I was an activist first, and I started in Rhode Island after George Floyd. You know, that was one of the most traumatizing events in my life. So me and like-minded activists in the state got together and formed an organization, and the same thing was happening all over, across the country and the world. It was a ubiquitous collective rage and anger at what we saw, and the response was immediate, and it was something that was unprecedented, unseen on that scale. And so we know there's talks about, you know, the actual narrative surrounding what happened, but what we know is what we saw. That's what we know. We don't know about any other reports or narratives other than what we saw. And what we saw was something that we really didn't like as Americans, and we had to take a look at ourselves. We had to take a good look at ourselves and see if we were happy with where we were. And we knew there was something wrong since 2013 with Trayvon Martin. We just didn't know, you know, how, you know, what to do about it. We knew there was a problem. We just, and a lot of my, you know, J6 brothers and sisters, and I'm going to get to that in a second. I appreciate them so much because they reach out to me and they express remorse for me, and they express sympathy for my community, and they never knew what we were going through and went through until they have been exposed to it. And the remorse is real. And, you know, these are my brothers and sisters, and they're suffering as well. And they were as desperate as me to solve race relations. They just didn't know how. And that seems like the case. But so I formed the organization. We formed the organization and in 2020, and then I moved to the DMV area in 2020, late 22. Yeah. And it's been about a year and a half since I've been in the DMV area. And so I formed the, after I stepped down from leadership with BLM Rhode Island, I formed the BLM Incorporated, which is an iteration of BLM. It's more of an entrepreneurship training and education and financial literacy. And we're trying to teach Black people how to, you know, become more financially literate and be involved in the entrepreneurial aspects of the country, which is fundamentally what America is, an entrepreneurial nation. You know, and that's where my focus is, and that's where I'm going to be putting my energy, you know, in my collaborations into. So, but while I was here, you know, I just, my network expanded, and I was dealing with people who were covering the J6 trials, And I just, for some reason, something told me, you know, that's something you want to be a part of, because believe it or not, and like you said, when you take emotion out, you see things logically. And I said, this will affect me in the future and my people and my family, the way that they were just so, uninhibited in their, their pursuits and arrests and charges and sentences that they started passing out, like Halloween candy. I was saying, you get a sentence, you get 20, you get 20, you get 20, you get 20. And if anybody thinks that's a good idea, if anybody thinks that's okay, you're not thinking clearly and logically, because that was not an insurrection. Mm. Nobody had a weapon.
Yeah. It's the first insurrection in history with an unarmed mob. I mean, get the fuck out of here, man.
Thank you.
So to one of your points, I don't mean to suggest that it's easy, but we do know how to solve systemic racism. It's obvious. It may not be easy, but it's obvious. What I think of solving systemic racism is solving the issue of access and opportunity, right? So if you talk about the actual traits of what people refer to as systemic racism, I get treated improperly by the criminal justice system, right? Now, most of that happens not on the street level, but in the courts, right? So somebody that doesn't have either the understanding, knowledge, access, or financial capability to secure good legal representation is going to suffer more in the courts than somebody else, right? They're going to get tricked into taking shitty plea bargains, which happens all the time, even if they're innocent on some of this stuff, just because the court will fucking add, or I'm sorry, the district attorneys in these places will add superfluous charges that make no sense, threaten these fucking 17 to 19 year old kids with life in prison for some stupid bullshit, and then they'll just cop to whatever. Now they're a criminal on paper, right? Which, say what you want about whatever, but that fucks up the rest of your life to some degree, right? It definitely makes it more difficult. And then opportunity is the other one, right? It's like, that's why I appreciate what BLM Inc. specifically does with financial literacy. Like, there's this idea from the subtle racism of low expectations, I believe is what they call it. It comes from the left primarily, where there's this idea, oh, black people can't figure out how to get an attorney or an ID or start a business or any of this stuff. Like, really? That's your fucking political position, that black people just can't figure it the fuck out? It's like, no, they just, nobody's fucking made that part of the culture, right? So when I see people like yourself teaching this stuff to people, that's a meaningful thing to do. Not bitching, not an athlete bitching on TV about, well, we got to fucking end racism. What the fuck does that mean? End racism. And you put it on the back of your helmet. That is a complete bankrupt platitude, and it does nothing for the community.
That's a red herring. And, it's detracting from the issues that really matter to us. And that's the plight of, American communities and, across the country, all marginalized communities that are suffering. We're sending billions of dollars across the seas to other countries and dealing with their problems, their, internal problems, and neglecting ours in the process, the poverty, the homelessness, the mental health crisis, the education, the failing education, the unprecedented illegal immigration, the corruption, the corrupting and deterioration of our culture and civilization, society as Americans. Like, this is nothing like what I'm used to, what I grew up in. I remember growing up in a somewhat wholesome country where there was morals and standards. And, my parents, I'm from a family of pastors, and they had, at least they might not have agreed, but they had respect for their position and their stance. And they had reverence for that. And, now there's none of that. Everything's out the window. It's dog eat dog. There's no respect for the country, respect for God, respect for the family structure. There's just nothing. And so this is not what I'm used to. And so when we talk about make America great again, if you take the emotion out of it, I agree. That's why I'm MAGA. That's why I just did an interview with Monica Crowley, and it's titled From BLM to MAGA. And, I like the way she I never looked at it like that, but that's exactly what happened in my evolution.
Yeah, people hear the phrase MAGA and they think of some somebody that looks like me, frankly, resting January 6th face, as my friend Tyler Fisher likes to call it. Some dude in a red hat with a beard who looks like he just stumbled out of militia camp in the woods, who's angry about life or whatever. But really, it is, from my perspective, it is,
oh my God.
It's the effigy of what G.K. Chesterton.
That's the media.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
That's what the media does.
Yeah, it's just it's that's why my friend Maj Torrey calls the media the most effective devil in America. I think is the phrase he uses. But yeah, it's like
propaganda is ridiculous. That's why they outlawed that type of propaganda after Nazi Germany, because it was so effective that it's no longer legal to use it in political campaigns, because it deteriorates the mind. It corrupts the mind. Look what it had Nazi Germany ready to do as a nation.
Yeah, but I think I think Obama signed an executive order making it legal again to do that in the U.S.
Did he? Mistaken. No way.
I can't. I know that that's true. Shot. I would have to look up which one it is. But the average MAGA person, you could speak to this because you are one. Frankly, you may not be the average one, but you are a MAGA person.
They are
the materialized version, the effigy of G.K. Chesterton's statement when he said, "This episode is also brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com, the best coffee in the world. As a matter of fact, they won both the gold and bronze medal at the Golden Bean Awards this year for their exclusive coffee club entries in the elite category. So the best coffee on earth literally was Circus Bear by Black Rifle, one of their ECS. So I recommend that you go sign up for the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. And, you know, you get all the benefits for being in the coffee club. You get the free shipping. You get access to all the partner deals. You get access to the exclusive coffee club. You get access to any new products that come out before anybody else does. You know, it's a very large club that they have over there, and the coffees are premium. Every single one of them is good. You're going to get experience for you. You can do just the plain coffee club, and if you want your two bags of espresso or your two bags of silencer or smooth or whatever it is you drink, you can get those two bags or one bag or whatever you want every month, or rather, you can use the ECS, the Exclusive Coffee Club, and get access to some of the most premium coffees on the planet and kind of learn what it is that you like. You know what I mean? So then you can order those premium coffees from Black Rifle as well. So, and we all know they got the best branding, the best merch, and they're buddies. You know, we're all friends here. We love Black Rifle. So go to BlackRifleCoffee.com, sign up for the coffee club, or buy something. Do whatever you want. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. Men didn't love Rome because she was great. Rome was great because men loved her, right? And that's the difference between feeling a sense of ownership in your community and not. So when you see a problem, when you see a quote-unquote out-group that's causing problems somewhere, it's very easy but also extremely ignorant and low frequency to be like, oh, that's just how that culture is or how those people are or whatever. And people do that very frequently. The reality is they just don't feel a sense of ownership in the country, right? So to solve that problem, help them feel a sense of ownership in the country. That's much easier to do than three fucking generations of mass incarceration that cost billions of dollars and don't, well, what the fuck was the result, right? Yeah. I mean, there's been no positive result from that, frankly. Yeah.
Two things I want to address with that point, because you're absolutely right. And, you know, when you, it's easier to pull someone out of a ditch than to pull someone into a ditch than to lift them out of it, right? And the reason why is because it takes more energy. You have to exert more energy to pull someone out. It's easier to pull someone down, and that's what the Democrats do through their fear-mongering and their racist, you know, allegations and racist tropes and this continued, you know, racial narrative that they use and to, you know, continue to try to paint us as victims and, you know, in America and, you know, to racism and slavery and society and, you know, and this is, it works like a charm because the media is their tool. It's the left's tool. The media is left and so is the Democratic Party. And so they use their best tool to continue to bludgeon Black people and minorities to death. And, you know, so contrary to that, you know, conversely, the you know, conservatives, they're not going to beat you over the head and tell you why we're so, you know, the best party for, you know, Black people. You know, the party that actually was established to end slavery, the party that, you know, is basically for and represents things Black people love the most: small government, you know, family values, education. You know, we don't want people snooping into our business, like, but they're not going to beat us over the head and tell us that. Second point, the reason why you see a lack of involvement is because they don't reach out to the Black community. So just sitting back and being idle doesn't equate to outreach. when you have something as powerful as the liberal media bludgeoning the community to death and telling them why the conservatives in this country are so bad, right? And like you said, to me, it's not even about the parties, because they're both two, you know, wings of the same dirty birds, as we both know. It's the government. It's the people versus the government. It's the ruling class versus the everyday Joe, the average person, that we have to worry about, because my neighbor doesn't have power over me, right? My white neighbor can't, you know, destroy my name and my livelihood and you know, you throw me in prison and break up my family and storm into my home in the middle of the night, you know, with a tank and a 50 cal gun attached to it, you know, and traumatize my children. My neighbor doesn't have that power over me. You see, the government does, though. Mm. Government has that power.
Yeah, that's always been... I've never understood it, to be honest, ever since I was a kid, because I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood in South Carolina, actually the same neighborhood that Jesse Jackson grew up in, believe it or not. But I never understood how, because everything about the black community as I saw it firsthand is conservative, except for how they vote, right? Like all the things they believe are the same shit that my family believe, which is the nuclear family and get the government the fuck out of my life. I don't want to hear from you assholes unless it's to fix the pothole that's still in front of my house, right? Like, and you want to be left alone. You want to make your own decisions. You want to have autonomy. These are conservative principles, right? But it hasn't translated into voting, right? Yeah, they love guns, stuff like that. Yep. As a matter of fact, the fastest growing contingent of gun owner in America right now are black women, believe it or not, which is fucking dope, by the way.
It is, because they want to partake in the American dream. They want to be part of the society and the culture. We've assimilated. We've been here long enough where, you know, we are like full Americans. You know, I don't even care what you call me, black American, African American. There's different schools of thought on that. But to me, I'm American made, like Nas said, American made, baby. Like, I don't know nothing else. So globally, nationally, that's all I know.
Yeah, it's
whatever America is, that's me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Don't you love this idea that white conservatives, especially like military and first responder people, are somehow going to be like, there's been this running meme over the last couple of years where it's like, oh, wait until white conservatives find out black people are buying guns. Like, yeah, that's great, dude. We're all pretty much on board with that shit. Like, we don't see any particular race as.
And I love that, because on The View, they were like, oh, wait, you know, they wait till they find out you're black. And it's like, they always go back to that race card. Mm. And it's like, no, wait a minute. You can't make me a victim. You can't, and I'm not, you can't make me feel bad because I choose not to be a victim. Like, you can't do that. You can't, and that's why I started BLM, to create my own narrative. Now, when you talk about conservatives in this country, right? The problem is, you have people with large megaphones in this party and large platforms who do damage to the diversity. They use their platform for evil, and they target different icons, cultural icons. You know, now targeting an initiative is one thing. That's not a person. But when you start going after people, you're crossing the line, especially those who are held in reverence in this country for nothing but political and personal expedience. So that's the danger when you talk about diversifying this party, because it's a huge tent. And if they, even if they don't want to outreach, the benefits of it are so appealing and attractive, it speaks for itself. It sells itself. The problem is when you have people who have these platforms who use them to alienate and ostracize people, then what you're doing is you're hurting yourself. And not only are you hurting yourself, you're hurting the country, because that power base, whatever it is, whomever it is politically and culturally significant. And you want to have that on your side, which is why I started my endeavor to create and establish allyship and collaborations with J6ers, with conservatives, with Republicans to cross the aisle, because I understand the future is in allyship. The future is in collaborations. That's the strength. That's the future of this country. Anything else is antiquated and it's bound to fail.
Yeah, it is. And it's low frequency bullshit too. It's like, and I think conservatives are there's two parties, or there's two groups inside the conservative group that are holding back the progress a little bit. One is the group you're talking about, who are just retards, right? They're just saying stupid shit all the time. The other
support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yep. The other group are the ones who are afraid to talk for whatever reason, afraid to talk to black people. I don't understand what the fucking fear is exactly. It's like they think they're going to say the wrong thing and get fucking canceled. Maybe I have no idea. I think that's why a lot of black folk I know, all of my, every single one of my black conservative friends are huge Trump fans. And I think it's because he had the temerity just to talk directly to them and not at them or over them or around them. Just like, hey, fuck these people. Like, here are my stats.
Human on, psychology.
Yeah, it's like he just came right at people. And what it's something that we've that the West has had a problem with lately. We don't understand machismo-based culture anymore, like Latin America, where you got to be a fuck. Come at me like a fucking man and talk to me like a man. If you try to do all this side bullshit, I'm just going to roll my eyes and walk away from you. It's the same thing in the Middle East. It's the same thing in Russia. It's why we keep fucking up in these places, right?
That's the Democratic Party that's doing that to us. Mm.
It's
taking that away. It's feminizing our culture.
Yeah, the pussification of America is what
it's
George
Clooney
used to call
it. Destroying the nuclear family as we know it.
Yeah, and then the other part you're talking about with the racial division and stuff like that, that's all a canard. That's bullshit. Red herring, as you call it. It's nonsense. That's not a real thing anymore. Like, there are people here and there that have prejudices, but for the vast majority of people, they're just trying to, like, live their life and be left alone. You know what I mean? Which has always been the case. So one good anecdote on this is Martin Luther King. So the FBI, for those of you who don't know, tried to convince him to kill himself by blackmailing him, right? With pictures of him, pictures and audio of him fucking other people than his wife. So yeah, he was doing dirt, but he was also a human man and, you know, flawed just like anybody else, doing stupid shit sometimes. And you can choose, like, this, the way I've always thought of it is you could choose to think of that negatively, or you can consider how he overcame his deficiencies to become one of the best leaders in the history of this country, right? It's like, You can put people on a pedestal and still think, well, yeah, there's mistakes there, right? You know, like, our heroes don't have to be perfect, and nor should they be, I don't think, right? I mean, like, how do heroes inspire new heroes if the only measure of it is absolute perfection all the time? Because that's not how human beings operate.
No. And, you know, it's so funny because I'm going to say this. This is the first time I've said this publicly, but I believe Trump is the white MLK. And the reason I do believe that is because, you know, he's the white version, because he, you know, looks at people beyond their race. Like you said, he just gives it to you straight. He doesn't, you know, he's going to treat you the way he treats everybody, whether you're a white woman, a black man, a white man, or a black woman. It's the same frequency, the same mentality, the same, you know, machismo. And so, you know, when you talk about seeing beyond someone's race, okay, so now he just judges people by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin, right? That's out the window. And then he knows how to bring people together in a very successful way. You know, so, you know, some people might say that's blasphemy, you know, but they said they've been saying that about me since I got to the DMV. So that's no big thing. I'm an independent thinker, and that's why I'm here right now where I am speaking to you, and people even care about what I have to say, is because I don't think like everybody else. Yeah, I'm not afraid to think independently and differently.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've been very critical of Trump over the years, which has not been – it hasn't set well with parts of our audience, to be honest, right. Because like the overspending, allowing Fauci to stay in power, banning bump stocks and stuff like that. Like there is a lot of stuff he did that I didn't particularly care for, but
you're not alone.
Yeah, certainly not. But but even then, like I've been pretty outwardly critical of most people on the conservative side, to be honest, because I don't think many of them are particularly conservative, frankly, except Absolutely. For like Thomas Massey. He's very he's an actual conservative, right? But it's still been very difficult for me to get left-leaning people to even come on this show, to be honest, because I don't know what they think is going to happen. I don't do like gotcha bullshit or whatever. And there's 150 episodes of the show now. And I had another show similar to this before that had over 100 as well. So there's plenty of information out there about how
I can. So why is it hard for you? Why is it hard for you to get left-leaning people to come on then?
It's a good question. I don't know. I would.
That's interesting.
They just don't respond or don't accept the invite for whatever reason. I think
because I did fall for a gotcha moment a few of them, you know, and the left, what they do is that's their job. And, you know, I'm learning a lot, you know, in this space. And Trump, he calls it the fake news and the fake media. Let me tell you something. I did an interview with Rudy Giuliani recently, like maybe a month ago. And, you know, he's like, are you getting a lot of flack for, you know, your stance? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. He said to me, this is what Black Republicans have been dealing with forever. And I said, I had no idea. I just had no idea. I feel so bad. I'm ashamed that I was a part of that think tank, that mob, mass mind of people that are coming for me relentlessly. And I'm like, yo, this is insanity. Like, this is insane. But, you know, and because of that, I was so naive to it. I fell for a few gotcha attempts, but I'm smart enough and strong enough where I can hold my own in any forum, you know. But it's like it was an eye opener to me.
What do you think? What was the impetus? Like, when did you? I guess if you think you're awake now, what was the thing that did it?
So, when I making my public stance, like when I decided to like stand in solidarity with the J6ers, I said to myself, now listen, when I did that, okay, I went down to the courthouse, okay, I rallied with these people, I led prayer vigils, I had sat down to eat with Enrique Antario's mother, okay, with Ethan Nordine, his mother, and I converse frequently. You know, Biggs, all of these people, Jake Lang, speak with him all the time. I led prayer vigils for these people. I'm on their weekly prayer call, okay, leading prayer, involved in this community, outreaching in this community. And I did that because it was the right thing to do. And I always made that clear. I did that because I don't take pleasure in any of my American brothers or sisters suffering in any way, shape, or form. You know, they're going through the court systems just like my people had to. We're dealing with the BS. This is why we need to come together as American brothers and sisters and citizens so we can put the proper checks and balances in place that keeping us divided doesn't afford. And so... you know, I just felt like, you know, when I started doing that, I started getting pushback from people. Like, I wouldn't believe. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing this. I'm leading prayer vigils. I'm ministering. I'm witnessing to people. I'm ministering to needs. And it's just complete, you know, indifference to that. It didn't matter. Like, it because I didn't think the way they thought. And it made him mad. And I feel like it made him even madder that they could not get me to think differently. and so this is eye-opening for me. It's eye-opening, the diversity of thought that is so discouraged in our community, to me, is the most, I would say, significant and startling thing of my whole adventure, my whole endeavor from the beginning to now, the very beginning with BLM to now, is the lack of diversity of thought in my community and the hatred for it. That to me is insanity. That's insane. That's like fish in a barrel. And they don't see a problem with that. And I'm like, how could you not see a problem with that? And I don't understand how they don't. And it to me is the most baffling, startling thing of the whole experience. I don't care whether you're left, right, middle, up, down. If you're any one of those, that's a benefit. Who benefits when everybody thinks the same? When we all think this, who has ever benefited? Who has not ever benefited? Just go through history. And you think it's okay to continue to think that way. I'm telling you, changed my life, man.
Yeah, I wonder what it is. What do you think it is that makes people so angry when somebody in their end group disagrees with them or won't accept what they're saying or whatever? I mean, I think it tells me that they're not secure in their position, right? Like somebody who is secure in their position and their beliefs, it's not going to be a problem for them that somebody else, what's the phrase? It's like, my faith doesn't require that you believe in it as well, right? Right. Something like that.
Well, not only that, not only is it that they're insecure about it, but what it does is it causes them to actually have to do introspection. And nobody wants to do that. Who wants to think? They said, I heard Earl Nightingale say, a man asked him one time, what's wrong with people? And he said, people just don't think. That's the problem. They don't think because thinking is hard work. They'd rather have someone else do it for them. So when you have to look at yourself and look at someone else's perspective and maybe, you know, compare it to yours, and it makes sense somewhat, and it doesn't, it's not, now you have to take a look and second guess everything about yourself. And nobody wants to do that. So it's easier for people to say, well, he's just crazy. Like, he's the enemy. He's the outgroup. He doesn't make sense. And so they other me, right? Which is how you create the leaders. And this is why the leaders and the captains of industry and the entrepreneurial, you know, those who are on the forefront and the cutting edge inventors in this country, they understand their power lies in the unbelief and the mass mind of other people, of the masses. Because if they thought like we did, then everybody would be, you know, they wouldn't benefit from everybody's indifference and just, you know, complacency. But because of that, because of their indifference and their complacency, those who take the risk and are willing to lead and be ridiculed and be different and step forward and stand up, you know, those are the ones who benefit. They get, you know, to the victor goes the spoils. They are the ones who are the winners because they were not afraid. They took the risks. They stood up in life and they were counted.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so nobody wants to have to, you know, those are the ones who we don't want to ridicule and mock those, but we never want to be like them. We don't want to mock them and ridicule them because we stand on the pedestal of their ignorance and complacency, you know, but we never want to be like them. We're grateful for our illumination.
Yeah, sure.
And epiphany.
Yeah. I mean, it goes both directions though. So like Trump was clearly better for the black community in measurable ways, right? Like the economic data on his presidency for black America it's indisputable that he was better than any previous president, right? As far as black economics goes. So the left says, but he's racist. Like, all right, how? Tell me how. Like, I'm willing to accept it if you say that. Just show me the evidence. And it's because he speaks frankly about things and he's an old man and says stupid shit sometimes, maybe. I don't know. But to me, racism has racist effects. Like there's practical examples of how this, not like hurt feelings and shit. Show me from a leader's perspective, like an individual could be racist and maybe hurt feelings or a sense of disassociation might be the effect of that. But when the vast majority of people, 82% on average before 2016, 82% on average people voted because of the economy, right? They voted one way or the other because of the economy. It's why we had so many more swing voters back in the day. So show me the practical effects of this racism, right? Otherwise, shut the fuck up about that and talk about policy, because I don't care about any of these fringe things. And on the other side of that is, you kind of alluded to this a minute ago, but if you're a conservative out there and you've been, man, I would call it in denial, but let's say you've been skeptical about the way the Black American gets treated in the criminal justice system, January 6th is a very good example for white people to show them what it looks like when the criminal justice system is intent on butt-fucking you, right? Like, you are the weight of the state against you, and you will not win that fight, right? So you can understand maybe now, at least take the time, take a beat, and try to understand from Black America's perspective that what that feels like, how you now feel about the government, right, is how Black America has felt about America as a country for some time. Not everybody, right, but a lot of people have. And it's damaging to the way we see our fucking country.
And it absolutely is. And, you know, these are the conversations I'm having with the J6 community, right, that the Democrats don't have, that they shy away from, that they say, you know, can't be solved because white people are just inherently, you know, and incorrigibly racist. I think otherwise, you know, and I just, as much as I'm not, I believe I'm not a victim, you know, I believe that my white brothers and sisters are benefit and ally to me. Absolute ally and have been in this country from day one since Black people have gotten here. You can look at the glass half full or half empty, but Democrats, they know how to use that card. It's their go-to. They've mastered it. That's their science. They put everything into that. And so that's what they use. So when you talk about, you look at right now what's happening, it's so funny. Like I said, it's almost like this 8-minute message that they can't get away from. They're using what Trump said now. And actually, I was, by the way, invited to that, the Black Conservative Federation event. I was invited by the promoter of it to be, but I couldn't go because I had a previous engagement with my wife. I wanted to go though, but now, like, those comments, are the you know, shaking up the establishment, and it's funny because it's no different than the way Trump always talks and always behaves, and it's no worse than anything he's ever said. Nothing that he's ever said is worse than anything he's ever said. But they're saying, oh, he's saying that Black people. No, this is not what he said. This is what y'all are saying. This is what they always say. That it's because of, you know, white people that Black people can't get a fair deal. We can't get a shake. We're victims. So now they're saying, oh, Donald Trump's saying that they can relate because he's got a mugshot. What kind of crap is that? That's the crap that y'all are always pushing.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
We are victims and that we got mugshots everywhere.
Well, that's why the left has to push that narrative, right? They have to keep you in a victim mentality, because otherwise you'll go out and do shit for yourself, and then they won't be relevant anymore. You know what I mean?
Necessary. And so, but you look at them and they're doing like verbal gymnastics, because if you listen, you can go back and listen to what them is. There's nothing. And they are like, every news cycle is talking about his comments about, and he said literally, you know, some people are telling me that the quote unquote, that the Blacks feel like, you know, because, you know, I'm being persecuted and discriminated against, they think I'm being discriminated against, that, you know, they can relate because they've been so hurt and discriminated. That was his exact words, quote unquote. You find anything in that statement that is untrue or racist, I swear to God, I'll resign from politics and from activism. But this is what they do. And they dissected that and they broke that down and they flipped it around and they did gymnastics with it and they played it on every news cycle. They blew it up. They you know, inflated it. They slanted it. They perverted it. They did everything that the left loves to do with those comments. And like I said, I'm sitting back in real time watching this, and I'm laughing, and I'm saying they have nothing to offer people. Nothing. And this is the proof. This is all they talk about. Once people get over Kamala's, you know, world tour about, you know, abortion, they have nothing except how horrible Donald Trump is. And save our democracy from Donald Trump. Save the soul of America from the MAGA Republicans, the radical MAGAs, the racist right. And it's like, that's all they have. And it's so obvious. I'm sitting back and laughing and watching them get exposed and get uncovered for who they really are. And I'm actually enjoying it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
They have nothing
to watch. I mean, it's funny and also sad and dangerous, I guess, to watch how the left is crumbling now, because I don't think, you know, what I think will happen is that the authoritarians in the Republican Party and the entire leftist leftist group in this country are probably going to become one group, new group, right? And then people who were left-leaning libertarian, people who are just conservative, all these like actual conservative people that want self-determinism, right, are gonna fucking become some new thing. I don't know what it is yet, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes. And it reminds me of, like,
truly and scary.
Yeah, it's a little scary, but it is what it is, man. I mean, it's not like we haven't been through this before as a country.
Absolutely.
We went through it during Reconstruction. We went through it again after, you know, we kind of jettisoned the Monroe Doctrine and started getting involved in world wars and shit. We went through it again during the Civil Rights Movement. We're going through it right now. It's not that it's not a big deal. It's just like, well, we've done it before, you know.
And,
we did it to start this country, as a matter of fact. And one of our founders, John, for people that are like, you know, why don't you just tune out of this stuff and go live your life? I'll quote John Adams, the second president of the United States. He said, "I must study politics and war that my sons may have the liberty to study mathematics and philosophy." Right.
Wow.
So if you think like this, bad news doesn't get better with time. This shit's on right now. Right. So if I'm not telling you that you need to quit your job and become a full-time activist or any of that shit, but you should be aware and involved, because awareness and involvement in your own governance, as Plato said, if you refuse to take part in your own governance, you're doomed to be ruled by fools. Right. If awareness and involvement, particularly at the local level, but even at the national level, is the insulation from the danger, right? Like these authoritarians sick on power and money, they only have power if you believe they do, if you allow them to, right? If enough people capitulate to their bullshit, all you have to do is stand up and say no together. There used to be this saying in the 80s and 90s, I think is where I left off, that the most dangerous thing in America was an educated black man. I'm sure you remember that phrase. You probably grew up hearing it. I think, and that was, the comment was meant to suggest that the government or white people or somebody is afraid of educated black people, right? But now I think the most dangerous thing in America to these status authoritarian turds is a black dude and a white dude hanging out together talking about how they don't like the government. You know what I mean? It's like that's the real threat to them now. It's not like one particular ideology versus another, or one particular race versus another. Now it's just like, and that's why they keep trying to hang on to this. That racial division runs deep. So they know they can keep playing that card, but they can only keep playing it if we let them. Like if somebody says some shit like that to you and you're like, shut the fuck up, dude, then that conversation's over, right? They don't have any more control over you.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because that's the key. And that's why the left hates me, because since I like Donald Trump, you know, they can't not like him. They have no reason they can't use that racism as a weapon. And you're absolutely right. That's what they fear the most. And they, this is why they fear somebody like me. And this is why the left has ostracized me. And somebody told me that they don't hate you. They're afraid of you because you have everything it takes to open up the eyes of other people. And so they feel like that you're a threat that has to be dealt with or addressed. And I never forgot that, and to me that it was in a moment, matter of fact statement, but it, to me, it's much more significant than that, because that's an actual fact of life. that they don't want to see a white and a black person hanging out talking about the enemy is actually the government. I mean, I was on my LinkedIn and I seen the FBI looking at my profile. I'm like, I don't know anybody from the FBI, you know? And so they're looking at my profile and they're interested in me for whatever reason. But, you know, when I began my organization in 2020, I was prepared for the worst. I led 10,000 people through the streets of Rhode Island to downtown Providence in the Capitol building. And I led that from the front. I wasn't in the back, in the middle, or on the sides. I led it from the front. I was willing to accept whatever consequences resulted from that. I didn't know I might be shot, stabbed, sniped, killed, arrested, interrogated, kidnapped. I had no idea, but I was willing to pay the price because it was that important to me. I overcame all my fears. I had to overcome my common sense. I had to overcome history. You know, I had to overcome, you know, everything I believed and felt about the country at that moment and my fears, you know, to do that. And I did it. And I knew after that day that it was a new era. It was a dawn of a new era in this country, especially for me and in my state and my mentality, because what I realized was, you know, well, I didn't get whisked away in the back of some, you know, fed, you know, suburban SUV by any means. I wasn't in any black dock boiler room being beat or interrogated. I didn't get kidnapped. I didn't get shot. I didn't get sniped. I didn't get bothered at all. A couple of funny things started happening and made me just raise my, you know, eyebrows and awareness level. But, you know, no more than just being alive in this world, I would say, at this point. But, you know, it made me realize that, hey, listen, the world belongs to the brave. And, you know, chance favors the bold and the brave. So that's what that whole event and that whole experience and time that, you know, led to for me.
Yeah. Well, now you've got kids, right? So your kids are going to, like, they're going to grow up without that sense of impending doom when it comes to America that a lot of people do face, right? Yeah. And it's like an artificially manufactured glass ceiling for a lot of people. They think, well, because I'm black, I can only get so far. It's like, well, that's not true, man. It's not true. Like, as much as I dislike him for the way he behaved during to get us into Iraq, Colin Powell is a pretty good example of how if you're smart enough and driven enough, you can do whatever the fuck you want, right?
Absolutely.
So it's like
a lot of black conservatives. Oh, all of them, yeah. Actually. Byron Donalds, I really like him. You know, Ben Carson. You know, even Tim Scott. You know, has his, you know, it pros. And you know, the guy, you know, Deontay, who invited me to the event. Like, these are black, powerful men in our country, and they all conservatives. When you look at the black caucus, it's all Democrat. Does anybody think that's ridiculous other than me? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm in bizarro world, but, you know, that seems ridiculous to me. And it's not because conservatives haven't tried to be a part of that. So when you look at that party, when you look at them, they are totally self-destructive, totally, Faustian, you know, culture where they, you know, they're willing to sell their souls, you know, for power. They don't care what it takes to hold on to power and control. They will lie. They will kill. They will steal. They will use. They will abuse. The Democrats will do whatever it takes to maintain power. That's what it's about for them. That's why I walked away. And that's why I'm leading this charge in the campaign for all black people and liberals who are independent thinking and minded to do the same. To get off that plantation, to leave the Democratic Party, not to be afraid to think independently, even if you don't join the Republican Party or sign up for the conservatism movement, just look at the facts that are staring you in the face, that, you know, are there for you to see, from, you know, the slaves and the slave owners of people and human beings, to the KKK, which was implemented and facilitated, you know, and maintained by Democrats, to the bill, the hate crime, the crime bill that was, you know, could have been vetoed by Bill Clinton, but wasn't. That continued the abuse and the degradation of black people just by the Democrats. Barack Obama, a black man, got in there and did nothing. Absolutely less than nothing. For the people who needed it the most, and he's one of us. That's what that party represents. Anti-American, anti-institution, you know, anti-human rights and humanity, anti-anything. Look how they treat these humans coming across the border as pawns. That's what they are.
Yeah, it's not great, right? I mean,
no.
Not really my place to be offended by it, but the way that Obama used the black community to get elected and did nothing for them seemed kind of fucked up to a lot of people. You know what I mean?
It was fucked up.
But you know.
But I'm called out for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Like you can't touch Obama. But you know, I'm not afraid. No, I'm the anti-Obama.
Well, look, I appreciate what you're doing out there. I'm sure it is to everyone's benefit, to be honest. Just having the space to think critically again, I think is super important for everybody. It helps keep things decentralized. It is a meritocracy. If everybody has an opinion and you can put them all together and see which ones work, that's kind of how it's supposed to go. So I appreciate what you're doing out there. Tell everybody, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you if they want to get involved with your org or donate to it or whatever the fuck else.
You can go to markfisherfocus@gmail.com. That's how you can reach me through email. That's also all my social media handles.
Mark Fisher Focus.
Yep, Mark okay. Fisher. That's no C in the Fisher. If you want to know about BLM, go to blminc.org, and that's the website.
Sweet. Well, look, thanks for coming today, man. I appreciate the conversation. We should do this again sometime.
I hope so, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. Thank you, this man. Has been Citizen.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.